Osman Atalan, riding hard with a small group of his Agajirs, left the main body of his cavalry many leagues behind. He climbed up through the gut of the Shabluka Gorge. On the heights he reined in Al-Buk and leapt onto the saddle. Balancing easily on the restless horse, he trained his telescope on the city of the elephant's trunk, Khartoum, which lay on the horizon. "What do you see, master?" Al-Nur asked anxiously. "The flags of the infidel and the Turk are flying on the tower of Fort Mukran. The enemy of God, Gordon Pasha, still prevails in Khartoum," said Osman, and the words were bitter as the juice of the aloe on his tongue. He dropped back onto the saddle, and his sandaled feet found the stirrups. He gave the stallion a cut across the rump with the kerbash, and Al-Buk jumped forward. They rode on southwards. When they reached the Kareri Hills, they met the first exodus of women and old men from Omdurman. The refugees did not recognize Osman with his black headcloth and unfamiliar mount, and an old man called to him as he cantered by, "Turn back, stranger! The city is lost! The infidel has triumphed in a mighty battle at Abu Klie. Salida, Osman Atalan and all their armies have been slain."
"Reverend old father, tell us what has become of the divine and victorious Muhammad the Mahdi, the successor of Allah's prophet."
"He is the light of our eyes, but he has given the order for all his followers to leave Omdurman before the Turks and the infidels arrive. The Mahdi, may Allah continue to love and cherish him, will move into the desert with all his array. They say he purposes to march back to El Obaid."
Osman threw back the headcloth that covered his face. "See me, old man. Do you know who I am?" The man stared at him, then let out a wail and fell to his knees.
"Forgive me, mighty Emir, that I pronounced you dead."
"My army follows close behind me. We ride for Omdurman. The jihad continues. We will fight the infidel wherever we meet him. Tell this to all you meet upon the road."
Osman thumped his heels into Al-Buk's flanks and galloped on. He found the streets of Omdurman in turmoil. Heavily armed Ansar galloped down the narrow streets. Wailing women were loading all their possessions onto donkey carts and camels. Crowds hurried to the mosques to hear the imams preach the comforting word of Allah at this terrible time of defeat and despair. Osman scattered all before his horse and rode on towards the mud-walled palace of the Mahdi. He found the Mahdi and Khalifa Abdullahi on the rooftop, under the reed sunscreen, attended by a dozen young women of the harem. He prostrated himself before the angareb, on which the Mahdi sat cross-legged. He had agonized over his decision to ride for Omdurman and face the successor to the prophet of Allah, rather than taking his agajirs and disappearing into the eastern deserts of the Sudan. He knew that if he had taken that course, the Mahdi would certainly have sent an army after him. But in his own territory, he would prevail against even the largest and most skilfully led host. But to wage war on the Mahdi, the direct emissary of Allah on earth, would have meant the end of him as a Muslim. The risk of death he ran now was preferable to being declared by the Mahdi an unbeliever, and having the gates of paradise closed to him through all eternity. "There is only one God and no other God but Allah," he said softly. "And Muhammad the Mahdi is the successor to his prophet here on earth."
"Look in my face, Osman Atalan," said Mahdi.
Osman looked up at him. He was smiling, the sweet smile that showed the small, wedge-shaped gap between his front teeth. Osman knew, with the cold hand of death laid upon his heart, that this did not mean he was forgiven. The Mahdi was certainly infuriated by his failure to stop the relief column. It was necessary only for him to raise his hand, and Osman would suffer death or mutilation. Often the Mahdi would offer the condemned man his choice. On the long ride up from Metemma, Osman had decided that if the choice were offered him, he would choose beheading rather than the amputation of his hands and feet.
"Will you pray with me, Osman Atalan?" the Mahdi asked.
Osman's spirit quailed. This invitation was ominous and often preceded the sentence of death.
"With all my heart and the last breath of my body," Osman responded.
We will recite together the Al-Fatiha, the first surah of the noble Quran. Osman adopted the appropriate first prostration position, and they recited in unison. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, then went on through the remaining four verses, ending, You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help for each and everything. When they had finished, the Mahdi sat back and said, Osman Atalan, I placed great faith in you and set a task for you. You are the beat of my heart and the breath in my lungs, Osman thanked him. But you have failed me. You have allowed the infidel to triumph against you. You have delivered me up to mine enemy, and it is all finished. Nay, my master, all is not finished. I have failed in this one thing, but not in all. Explain your meaning. Allah has told you that it will not be finished until a man brings you the head of Gordon Pasha. Allah told you that I, Osman Atalan, am that man. You have not fulfilled that prophecy. Therefore you have failed your God as well as his prophet, the Mahdi replied. The prophecy of God and Muhammad the Mahdi can never be brought to naught, Osman replied quietly, feeling the breath of the dark angel upon his neck where the executioner's blow would fall. Your prophecy is a mighty rock in the river of time that cannot be washed away. I have returned to Omdurman to bring the prophecy to fruition. He pointed across the river to the stark outline of Fort Mukran. Gordon Pasha still awaits his fate within those walls, and the time of low Nile is upon us. I beseech you, give me your blessing, Holy One. The Mahdi sat silent and unmoving for 100 of his rapid heartbeats while he thought swiftly. The Emir Osman was a clever man and an adroit tactician. To refuse his plea was to admit that he, Muhammad the Mahdi, was fallible. At last he smiled and reached out to lay his hand on Osman's head. Go and do what is written. When you have fulfilled my prophecy, return to me here.